Phil Hendry.
Well, good evening. It is the Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And, of course, stay tuned for the Truth is Our Bitch tour of 2013, which will be debuting soon on stage, live in color. And it don't get much more in color when you're live on stage.
No way, you gotta be black and white when you're live on stage.
Absolutely. And we again thank Don Berman for being with us last night doing the race results from Dickman Downs. Don got a little bit of flack today at the office because there was some complaints. There were complaints, given the fact that he was calling for, essentially, he was calling for the destruction of all three horses that he bid on, or that he bet on, during racing.
If you don't mind me saying, you look a little, are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
Well, you look a little out of it because you're going, that he bid on, and it's bet.
I understand, Margaret. Pardon me for misspeaking.
All right, but the point is that, yes, Don Berman was contacted today. My sources tell me that there were a number of people upset with the fact that he was calling for the destruction of Daddy and Mommy, which was the first horse that he bet.
Yeah, Daddy and Mommy said, kill it, kill it. And then he wanted them to kill Western Wear, I think.
No, the Western Wear was the winning horse.
Yeah, the horses that he bet all lost. And in each race, he called on just anyone to go down to the track with a gun and shoot and kill the animals.
Yeah, but he was kidding.
Well, it doesn't matter if he was kidding. There were a great many stringent complaints.
Well, there's going to be complaints. I mean, there's just no way. But Don doesn't care. I mean, since when does he care? Since when do we even report on stuff that he's not going to care about?
Well, I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was an extreme reaction, given the fact that he lost those bets.
Well, that's Don Berman. I mean, like a lot of those guys, and I say that with all due respect, but with, like a lot of those guys, he can make all the mistakes in the world. It's somebody else's fault. Now, he bet three horses. First of all, I don't know where he gets off saying the horses he bet on as he's calling the race action. And then when they lose, he goes from talking about them in glowing terms like they're the next triple crown winners. And the next thing you know, he's saying that they all ought to be, you know, have their brains blown out right on the track. So anyway, Don Berman took a lot of heat for that. We may talk with him later on. We may not. We welcome you to our program. Anyway, we have the hot baby names of 2013. Kind of a fascinating story because you may be interested to know. I don't know how many guys. I'm interested in names. Names just, they put me away. For whatever reason, I think names can be the most hysterical aspect of being a person is someone's name. And even if we don't mean to give somebody a weird name, we wind up oftentimes doing it. I don't know whose fault that is. I suspect it's the mothers.
Yeah, I agree with that. We were having a discussion, ladies and gentlemen, before we came on the air, and Phil and I very much agree.
Excuse me, what are you? Are you all of a sudden the host?
Well, I'm telling everybody.
Well, we're talking, remember, Margaret?
Yes, but he's going, oh, we had a discussion. You're not the host.
Okay, so do you have something you want to say?
Yes, I take great exception to you saying that mothers are the ones that saddle their sons or daughters with these names that are straight from Ass World, which is...
Well, who said Ass World?
I said Ass World. I was looking for the... That's the word that I wanted.
Well, I never said that the names are straight from Ass World.
Well, I did.
Yeah, that's... What's that mean?
It means... Never mind. Don't play it back to me. I'm telling you that these names are ridiculous.
Yes, they are. Like, I know a lady who named her son Jason J. Delmonico.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
Hey.
That's a perfectly lovely name.
Jason J. Delmonico, perfectly lovely name, huh? What was that sound I heard?
I thought you kicked open on music.
Jason J. Delmonico is one of those names that's going to get a kid beat up. I'm sorry to say it.
Absolutely.
You are saying that I send my son to school to get his ass kicked. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'm not saying that you want to do it intentionally.
That a mother that loves his... How dare you say something? Phil, I've given that boy that name as a way of garnering respect. I don't send my son off to school every day to have him bounced off the hood of a Jeep, have his head rammed into the front left panel about 5 or 6 times, bounced off the hood of the Jeep some more, then thrown into...
Boy, you really got the whole thing figured out.
Yeah, guy. Man, you could write a whole TV show about a way a guy gets bounced.
Just don't. The things I've got going on inside of me, you don't even want to know about.
Bounced off the hood of a Jeep.
That's right.
Well, all right, so did you give that boy that name to get it bounced, to get to have his head slammed into the front panel?
Well, Margaret, you're the one that gave a kid the name. We're talking about babies' names. If you give that boy a name, Jason J. Delmonico, are you saying that's a normal name?
I think the name Jason is very normal.
No. Jason J. Delmonico, that's not even a boy's last name. So why do you give him that name?
Because he is an act. I don't like being spoken to.
All right, take it easy. Take it easy. God, you got to admit, giving a kid the name Jason J. Delmonico is unusual. I'm not going to say that you are being cruel. I'm not saying that it's a name that's going to get him beat up, okay? I'm sorry. I was half kidding anyway. But I am saying it's a pretty unusual name.
Do you think it's any more unusual than these names?
It's a little more unusual, but I want to get to these names because they're interesting. And it did, when we were talking about babies' names before the show, because that's what's in the news today, are these are the hot names so far of 2013. This is what people are naming their kids. And I once again, I think the problem comes in where, as parents, we don't really necessarily think about the... I don't know if there's consequences necessarily, but you give a kid a name, and it's either going to be something that people readily embrace, that people can use as a way of just, okay, that's Bob, or that's Phil, or that's Margaret, or is it a is it the beginnings of a way to mock somebody, or is it a handle that's easy for somebody to make fun of someone? I don't know. But here are the top names of 2013. Bruce. Now, where Bruce came from.
And what is that about?
I don't know. Bruce is strictly something from the 50s and 60s, but Bruce. Now, they're saying that, of course, these names do come from popular culture, that there is something happening in the culture. It could be. Is that from Bruce Wayne, Batman?
Yeah, I'm probably thinking like Batman, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Well, you don't know that.
I don't know. The next name is, these are boys' names and girls' names. They're all mixed together. Christian. Finnegan. Linnea.
What's wrong with Finnegan?
I think Finnegan's pretty weird. What's that about?
I think it's a name from a vampire.
Yeah.
A name from a vampire.
Yeah, I think that it is, now that Bud mentions that. The vampires are very popular, as you know. It could be a ghoul, isn't it?
Is it a Walking Dead name?
What do you mean a Walking Dead name? One of the zombies, hey, there goes Finnegan. He's out eating somebody's arm again. You know,
I don't know. They might say, that's Finnegan. Oh, my God, it's Finnegan. He's up, he's walking around.
Oh, my God, that's Finnegan. I don't think they're going to go to the trouble, man. If you're going to name a zombie for a TV show, you're going to go all the way over to, you're going to make the big, long run to Finnegan? You might as well just get up and walk over to the name Steve.
What do you mean, get up and walk? What are you talking about?
Yeah, what's that all about?
I'm saying, if you want to name a zombie, are you going to really go and do a lot of work on it?
Well, I mean, why would you call a vampire Finnegan?
I don't know that they did call a vampire. Well, I don't know, man, because vampires have personality, okay? Vampires are going to be around for a while. Vampires talk. Vampires walk. Vampires debate. Vampires, you know, vampires can do stuff. Zombies can't do squat. I'd rather sweat over the name of a vampire than sweat over the name of some zombie. I'm going to call a zombie Finnegan. I'll give that name to a vampire. The zombie, he gets Joe, and he's going to be happy with it.
You're out of your mind, you know that?
Hey, you, zombie. Your name is Al, okay? And you're going to love it, and you're going to live with it, son. Finnegan was the name of a zombie.
I don't know.
Next name that's very popular in the baby names of 2013, in the baby sweepstakes, is Linnea, then Marlo, Marnie. I actually know a Marnie, who is the kid's sister of a friend of mine. So, Marnie, your name's come back around again. She was born in the 60s. Mavis. Aha! How about that, Mavis?
You don't think it? No, you don't think.
I don't think. I think Mavis, they say the name Mavis comes from another popular television show. I forget which one. Mingus. Mingus is the name, the last name of a jazz bass player. Nellie. Phaedra, Phaedra, Severine, Thor, and Wilder. Thor, they say, from X-Men. But let's just for a moment take the television shows and the cultural influence out of it and just slap the name Thor on a kid. It's pretty, you know.
Yeah, I mean, what does that mean? It's like, my butt is Thor.
I'm going to slap him.
Hey, watch it.
Why are you making that joke?
Because my butt is Thor.
I thought that's what it meant.
Are you lying to me?
No, I thought it was.
Robert, you're not an idiot, okay?
I swear to God, what do you mean?
Thor, T-H-O-R. Not my butt is Thor.
That does it.
Hey! Ow! Yikes!
Man, that's gonna sting for a long time.
You got it.
All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show to sort this bull crap out. What other names we got here? Thor and Wilder. What the hell? We'll find out. These are the baby names of 2013. I don't know which is better, the baby names of 2013 or the baby names of 1890. Because I bet you if you went back to 1890, it would be...
Probably they had Thor and Wilder and Finnegan.
No, they didn't have Thor in 1890. They had something like George. Or Ralph. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Mavis Leonard is going to be up here in just a moment. Robert Leonard's aunt and a frequent contributor to our program on a variety of issues. And one of the reasons why we're having Mavis on in this segment is obvious reasons. One of the top baby names of 2013, dig it, is Mavis. And before we get Mavis up, Robert, do you see the story right there, right?
Yeah, well, they're talking about Hotel Transylvania. And see the vampire from... Hotel Transylvania, my team.
Yes, it's voiced by Selena Gomez. Is Mavis, darling, are you there? It's Margaret.
Yes, Margaret, I'm here. Thank you very much for having me on. I didn't know this. I knew that Robert told me.
So you heard that the name Mavis is one of the top baby names.
I heard the name Mavis, yes. And I want to go on record. I'm very upset. I'm not so much upset. I'm sad by that. I'm saddened by it.
Why are you sad about it?
What do you say? Is that different? What do you say?
I mean, what are you sad about it for, Mrs. Leonard?
Different. I'm sad because I would never give a child the name of Mavis. I was saddled with that name as a hell name. That is a hell name.
Well, why call hell name?
You know what I mean by hell name, don't you?
Well, yeah, that's a Christian term.
Yeah, it is a Christian term. You say you got a name, you got a hell name, you're hellbound.
What does that mean?
Well, basically it means that you have a name that Satan recognizes. You go to the sort of like a front of the line name, you know, Satan's down. You're hellbound. Come on down. Now, I've lived my life as the best way I know how.
Wait, darling. I want to ask you something. What do you mean you're hellbound?
I'm afraid I've got the name Mavis. I feel that name is tagged for hell. And I think the horn one... You'd be looking, a horn one looks for all names that are hellbound. If you're going down to Devil Town, you're hellbound. And you get down to Devil Town, the horn one looks for the hellbound name.
What is a hellbound name? The question I have is, why is it a hellbound name?
Because I hate the damn name. You understand me?
No, but come on, Arnett. Well,
No, hold on. I hate the damn name. You understand what I'm talking about? Mr. Henry, you understand?
Yes, ma'am. I know you hate it. I wonder what you meant by hellbound.
What do you think I mean by hellbound? I mean that name to take you straight to hell. Hi, my name is Mamie. You going to hell. How come you say that I'm a little 12-year-old girl? I'm on a school run. And I say to the lady, my name is Mavis. She said, you going on down to hell? Oh, yeah. And I said, lady, why you say that? She said, that name feels like hell. The reason why you give a child a hellbound name is so that child is doubly intent on living a good life. And that's exactly what I've done.
Yeah, honey, you live a damn good life, and you've been all right, you know?
I appreciate that, Robert, but I wouldn't say you're the one to judge on who lived a good life or not, because the only part of life that you've seen is what you can see from your back on a couch.
Yeah, but from what I've seen from my back on a couch, you live a good life.
All right, well, that's about, you know, what? That's me getting up, walking. What do you see in my life, laying on a couch? Me get up, I walk in the kitchen, make toast, and I disappear again.
But I know you make toast good.
Yeah, well, but so what?
I'm just saying.
All right, I make toast good. All that tells you is I know how to cook something black. And guess what? That's hellbound. If I know how to cook something up, I've got the hellbound toast. I wouldn't be so silly as to say something like that, but it doesn't make me feel better.
All right, well, look, Mavis, I honestly do not believe, I don't believe in that. I you can say what you want. Maybe you have a hellbound name, but you have lived a good life, and that's where that's at. Now, you have the name Mavis, and good, bad, or indifferent, people are naming their babies Mavis. And I don't think anybody's naming their baby Mavis because they want the kid hellbound.
Is that right? Well, then how come they're naming their baby after a character in a Hotel Transylvania, the vampire, blood-sucking, two-bit? They naming their baby after a two-bit, stinking, crawling, no-life blood-sucker. You understand what I'm saying?
Talk about a blood-sucker. That's a vampire.
Yeah, they're naming their baby after a chicken-sucking, egg-stealing. Man, they talk about an egg-sucker, chick. You either chicken sucker or egg, you know you heard about egg sucking.
No, Mavis, darling, the term is chicken stealing and egg sucking.
No, that's what I'm trying to tell you if you people had shut up long enough. And let me say the things that I've got to say, because I've got a lot of things I want to say.
Darling, do you understand?
Would you people shut your mouth long enough, because I've got some things I got to say.
Yeah, Ms. Leonard, go ahead, Ms. Leonard. Everybody shut up.
You don't tell me to shut up.
Well, I'm telling you.
Everybody shut up. What do you want to say, Mavis?
I'm trying to tell you that if you're hellbound, it ain't an egg-stealing chicken sucker. You're talking about an egg sucker and a chicken stealer. Man, you're talking about a chicken sucker and an egg stealer. That's what I'm trying to say, and that's what I've been trying to say. And you people running your mouth. And all you're doing is making life more difficult for an old lady.
Well, so what does that got to do with the name Mavis?
I think you don't. You had a name Mavis, you are a chicken sucker. You suck chicken. You understand? Oh, man. I don't have time for this foolishness. A very pleasant good evening to all of you. I know later on there's going to be a rerun. You know what I want to see is Conan. What time Conan come on?
Conan's going to be on later on. I mean...
I want to wake up for Conan. Thank you very deeply.
What did I do wrong there?
Well, I think we know what first of all, she was trying to articulate that the name Mavis is hellbound. All right?
Well, what does that mean, hellbound?
I think she said what it was. But the other thing that I thought was important to note was that if you saddle a child with the name Mavis, the child is hellbound, and the child becomes a chicken sucker.
Yeah, as opposed to an egg sucker.
As opposed to an egg sucker, yes.
Oh, well.
Well, Phil, don't be sarcastic.
Well, I'm going to be sarcastic. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life.
Well, you understand, my aunt, she's an old-time religion.
What do you mean old-time religion? Dude, I've never even heard that. I've listened to a lot of old-time religion. I never heard anybody tell me the name Mavis is hellbound. I never heard anybody tell me that the name Mavis turns you from a chicken-stealing egg sucker into an egg-stealing chicken sucker. Are you kidding me?
You don't wind up laughing at it and it's religious.
No, I don't think you need to be sacrilegious.
Oh, well, look who's talking. Miss Atheist.
I have respect for the culture. There's a difference.
Miss Atheist, you understand, Mom. She's very religious.
Yeah, I understand she's religious. I know she... What do you think, I don't know that? Of course I know she's religious. That's why I don't understand her getting weird about the name Mavis being hellbound. Good God, she was going on and on and on and on about her name is going to send her down to the Horned One. And what was this horse dung about how if the devil spots you in line on your way into hell and you got the name Mavis, you go to the front of the line?
You talk about, that's what we're talking about. That's why my aunt won't go to Disneyland, because they got Fast Track.
Yeah, there's a certain Christian sect, they don't believe in the Fast Track tickets at Disneyland or at Universal Studios because of that.
Yeah.
Oh, horse crap.
Okay.
Oh, that's horse crap. What sect is that?
I don't know. It's a religious sect and a Christianity. And they won't use a fast track because the Horned One does it.
Bull crap. You know what? I'm going to make you people prove that to me, okay?
I'll get my aunt back on the line.
Yeah, are you going to believe her or not?
Go ahead, get your aunt back on the line. I'll ask her about it. In the meantime, we'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Matt Lauer joking that he's less popular than polio. I think so. As a matter of fact, I got to be honest when I say the following thing. Matt Lauer, buddy, you're a great guy. I'm sure you're terrific. No one watches your show. The reason why the Today Show is in the news is because 100% of four people watch that show. But the fact is, nobody watches the show. So Chris Humphreys is being sued by a men's clothing store, and Kelly Ripa only wishes Regis would die. I'm kidding. No, she doesn't. Now I totally spaced. Anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have been talking to Robert's aunt, Mavis Leonard. I got Mavis back on the phone here. I'm not angry, Mavis, that you hung up on us. I understand your reasoning for that. But we had I wanted to ask you some questions.
I don't mean to be rude, Mr. Hendry. You know I'll never be rude to you, Phil, because I love you very much. I love everybody on the show.
I understand that, dear.
But I cannot sit and listen. As a Christian woman, I will not sit and listen to somebody call a child Thor or Finnegan or some name that bespeak a devil, because I think it's a devil. I think that we do live in the devil time. And
so you believe in the end times?
I didn't say that we live in the end time. I don't know if we live in the end time. God did not say, in the Bible, God says, only I know when the end time is going to be. And none of you suckers, and I don't mean to say, but that basically, Robert, when he was a little boy, he said, God said none of you suckers going to tell me. And that's kind of the way I see it,
Okay, so...
Mavis, repeat that. You're saying that God said that none of you suckers are going to tell me?
No, I didn't say that.
No, not you, none of you suckers.
Well, that's what you said.
No, I'm saying, look, Margaret, will you just listen for 5 seconds instead of giving me your whole... little Bo Peep routine.
I'm not giving you the little Bo Peep routine. I'm trying to understand.
But just listen to me for 5 seconds. I'm telling you, we live in a devil time. The devil has full sway. And you name your child Mavis, you name your child Thor, especially you name your child Thor. I don't know who gets off, I don't know what bus they're on and what stop they're getting off at. But the name Thor, that's got to go. That's got to go. That's got to go way down, down, down to the ground.
And the name Thor.
That is, you better... Are you kidding me? If you saw a list of Thor, and the other one is Phaedra, that's the name of a demon, or like a demon snake,
Yeah, I'm out of Phaedra. That is a demon snake.
What do you mean, demon snake?
Ain't that the name of a demon snake, Mr. Henry?
Well, there was the Hydra... which I believe was the multi... the Hydra had snakes for hair and was multi-headed, wasn't it?
I have no idea. I don't know who the Hydra is. A Hydra, that sounds like I've heard of hydrophobia.
Yeah, that rabies?
No, it's not rabies. The Hydra is a Greek goddess.
I'm not talking about no Greek. I'm talking about Christian demon. I'm talking about a good Christian demon.
Well, no, we're not talking about that. Now, Mavis...
Hold on. We're getting way off the point here, okay? All I'm asking is the following thing. If we're talking about names, and you, Mavis, now you're telling me we're living in the devil times, whatever that is.
I'll tell you what the devil time is. The devil time is when is where we are right now. That's the devil time.
To where we're now?
No, yesterday. Yes, where we are right now.
Well, what does that mean?
It means the devil has... Fools, the devil has carte blanche to do with the devil. The door is open for the devil. Half off for the devil. You know what I mean? It's a closeout sale for the devil. You call your name Thor, you tell a kid his name is Thor or Finnegan. Kid goes off, and he's just a little creature from the deep. And ain't nothing you can do about it.
Well, I don't think it, forgive me for saying this, I don't think you can, a creature from the deep.
I don't stutter. You heard what I said.
No, I mean... Talk about a creature from the deep.
What the hell does creature from the deep mean? That don't mean nothing.
Hey, you're talking about aunt.
Hold on for a minute. I guess you're talking about it. All right, Mavis, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I don't think I've answered all your questions.
Yeah, no, you've answered all of my questions. Thank you very much. Have a very pleasant good evening.
No.
Creature from the Deep, that's a bunch of weird stuff, okay? I'm not talking about your aunt. I don't think she's nuts. I just don't believe it. You know, I just don't believe it. Because you name your kid Thor, and you name your kid Mavis, and you name your kid Phaedra, that the devil has half off.
Yeah, that she was saying that. Why?
Because she's saying that this is the devil time, so the devil has got, it's, you know, the devil can go anywhere he wants.
Yeah, and he gets half off, like, in different, I guess if he goes to a department store.
What do you mean if he goes to a department store? That is the most idiotic thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, that's what she was saying.
Yeah, I was not saying it literally. They say the devil's going to go to a half-off store.
Then what was she talking about?
She's just trying to say that if the devil was around, I don't know.
She's saying that the world is conducive to the mischief of the devil. How about that?
Huh? What? What is that?
Yeah, what is that?
Huh?
Well, will you knock it off?
Well, no one knows what you're saying, Phil.
Yeah, but I think it's rude to sit there and go, huh? I'm simply saying that what Mavis, I'm trying to interpret what your aunt's saying. Have you got a better interpretation, Robert?
No, yeah, she's saying that. She's saying, in a devil time, the time is right for the devil to go in and try, well, she told you to use on clothing and said that like the devil is trying us on. Like we're a brand new pair of pants and the devil putting you on.
So I'm a pair of shorts?
Not a pair of shorts. Didn't say a pair of shorts. Saying, like, it's a devil time, so you're like a bun. Well, you're not a bun hugger, but yeah, you're like bun hugger for the devil.
Well, I think that's insulting to be compared to something that is going to be, that is going to be worn over the devil's scrotum. Well, Phil, what are you looking at me like that for?
Where did you get that idea?
That's what he just said. Isn't that what you're saying, Robert?
Well, I am, sort of, Miss Henry, yeah.
That the devil is going to wear us like a pair of bun huggers. Is that what you just said to me?
I mean, that's what my aunt believes in a devil time Christian religion.
Because the devil time religion, it's different from Amish and stuff.
So now what I'm finding out is that there is a sect of Christianity called devil time. Is that it?
Yes.
I see. And when did that start?
Well, I mean, if you want me to give it a story and get my aunt back on.
No. Just tell me.
Well, devil time started in the late 1940s. Now, it started, and this is going to sound weird, and you're not going to believe me, but it started in conjunction when they come out with Jiffy Time.
The popcorn.
Yeah.
I think I remember writing something about this, Phil.
Wait. In a minute, I'm going to throw the flag, and I'm going to just tell you guys you're all full of crap here.
No, I swear to God.
So a religious sect, a Christian sect called Devil Time, came out inspired by Jiffy Time popcorn? Was that what it is?
No, that Jiffy's Jolly Time.
No, it was Jiffy Time. Don't you dare confuse things.
I'm telling you right now, I swear to God, it was called Jiffy.
Okay, I'm done with this conversation. He's bawling. You clowns are arguing over the name of a popcorn, and you're telling me that that's what inspired Devil Time.
That's my understanding.
Yeah, but it's not called Jiffy Time. It's called Jolly Time.
Will you stop crying, bud?
I can't help it.
Stop crying right now. Man up and stop crying.
Phil, allow him to have his feelings.
No. He's not an 11-year-old boy. He's a 19, 20-year-old. Quit crying.
Quit being mean.
But I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. I would rather buy. You're probably right. Maybe it is called Jolly Time instead of Jiffy Time. I'm not buying it. Nobody's going to get me to buy it. I don't believe it. I don't believe that there was a religious subdivision of Christianity based on popcorn. It ain't going to happen. You're not going to get me to believe that.
All right, Phil, then you just go right ahead and you believe what you want to believe. And when somebody presents you with the truth, lift your leg to it and defecate.
And where are you going?
May I go to the bathroom? Do I have to tell you every time I go to the toilet?
Lift your leg and defecate?
Well, I mean, Mr. Man, I'm just trying to tell you.
Do you mind telling me how it is that a devil time, this religion, came about as the result of Jolly Time or Jiffy Time?
My understanding is Jiffy Time. If you said Jolly Time, Bud, I'm going to believe you.
It is. It's called Jolly Time.
Quit your bawling, man, or I'm going to belt you. Okay, so it's Jolly Time.
Right. And after World War II, when they came out of Jolly Time, a Christian sect in some of the southern churches, my aunt She grew up in the South and in South Carolina. And they were having jolly time and everything. And the war ended and everybody's happy. And they said the only thing that cussed down jolly time and devil time. And that's when everyone started to pray. And there was a vision of people trying to get into heaven. They all have name tag on. It was devil time name tag. And that's what the proctor said when he came, you know, the proctor came that day on that Sunday night.
Who's the proctor?
That was the man who ran the church that my aunt went to.
And where was this?
That was a man in South Carolina.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life.
You got to understand, that's a religion. You can't bash the religion.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm bashing it. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Let's come up with a sect of religion of Christianity called Devil Time, because this popcorn reading is so good.
No, there's more to it than that.
Yeah, it was called Jolly Time.
Okay, it was Jolly Time.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at you. I think you're full of crap. Anyway, I'm done with it. Done with it.
Why do you think they got all upset, man, about Jolly Time? Or not Jolly, but Devil Time with a kid by the name of Finnegan. Some kid named Finnegan on a Devil Time, man. You put that on a name tag. Hell, that kid fast track to hell. A fast track to hell, man.
A kid named Finnegan's on a fast track to hell because the people in the Devil Time religion think he is. All right, look at this little kid here. See how cute this little guy is? I'm holding up a picture of a kid here on Phil TV in HD. Those of you who are at home or are seeing our... See that kid there? His name's Finnegan. He's on a fast track to hell.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to do it.
Boy, did you sound like some kind of a farm boy then.
Oh, listen to you.
Well, he did.
Anyway, there he is, Finnegan. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to get more into this discussion with Father James McCorders. When we return, Chris Humphreys is being sued, as we mentioned, and there is a new zombie fragrance that's just killing the ladies. World famous Phil Henry Show. And wait till you hear what a guy did with an eel in China. Wait
Truth
till you hear this
our
one.
Is bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I'm talking about what I mean about devil time. A man put a heel right up.
The world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. You know, the Phil Henry Show website is our online home. It is the online headquarters of the world famous Phil Henry Show. And we encourage you to get a backstage pass there at philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you get to, you know, you get to access all the many thousands of hours of audio that we have online, as well as our video cast archives, as well as our news feed, as well as the full shows that we have, our recent shows. We have a daily podcast, and it's all there available to you at philhenryshow.com. I'm looking right now. We got, anyway, we have also live streaming video for you guys who have mobile devices. In fact, I was just holding up the picture of the show tonight that is streaming live for folks on my iPhone. So if you've got an iPhone, you got a Droid, you got an iPad, anything that you like to take with you wherever it is that you go. And of course, this time of night, when we talk about mobile, what are we talking about?
Well, you're talking about Starbucks, which I think, and I don't want to say anything. I think Starbucks is a wonderful establishment. By the way, Bobby Dooley is going to be interviewing... I wanted to say this. Should I...
Or let's finish one thought and then...
All right. Yes, Starbucks. At this time of night, there's an awful lot of people that are a little frightening. They're sitting in Starbucks, wearing headphones, staring at their iPhones and their iPads. A lot of times they're staring at your image. That's frightening. They're in Starbucks. That's... Excuse me for one moment. I'm sorry, Phil. I'm sorry, Phil.
Yeah, you gotta do that. It smells just like Chinese food.
Because I had Chinese food.
Do you have to stop in the middle of what you're saying on the air and let one go like that?
It's... So I'm supposed to hold it back and get an aneurysm. Thank you.
No, Margaret, Look, now she's getting up and leaving again.
Yes. Gotta see if there was any damage done.
All right. In any event, join us, won't you, online, mobile at philhenryshow.com, whatever device you have. All right. What did you want to say?
I wanted to say, excuse me, Bobby Dooley tomorrow will be interviewing for the Bobby Dooley podcast Jane Wells, who is a darling girl. She is an Emmy Award-winning reporter on CNBC. Jane also, and I know Jane very, very well, she's challenged Bobby to ask her anything, but Jane did have a coffee request for Starbucks. Who do I say that to?
I guess you can tell me. What is it?
Well, I don't know. I wrote it down somewhere. You're the one that takes the...
Well, you can tell me, or you can tell Bobby, or you can tell John, or one of the guys at LEG. This is the coffee that Jane wants?
Yes, she has a very specific Starbucks... You know, are you telling me this is a newsflash? Don't the stars that Bobby interviews have their...
I don't know. So Jane wants a certain coffee. Okay, so we'll get it for her. All right, in any event, join us online at philhenryshow.com. Yeah, the Bobby Dooley podcast, which is going great guns. This week, it's Craig Bierko, the great actor, stage, film, and television actor. On Friday, it is Chris D'Elia, and that's tomorrow. So we're going to be dropping part one of a two-part interview with Chris D'Elia, Bobby Dooley interviewing the actor Chris D'Elia, great comic, funny cat on Whitney, and I mean this guy, and he's got an HBO special that's coming out very, very soon, so don't miss that. Chris D'Elia, two-parter, and I'm going to tell you, he was absolutely hysterical, him and Bobby going back and forth, and oh, the highlight of the Chris D'Elia interview is what Steve was doing in the background.
Oh, God. That man is disgusting.
Well, it was pretty funny. It attracted Chris's attention, and the next thing you know, they just started ripping Steve an ass over something that he was doing. So check it out. It drops tomorrow. Bobby Dooley's podcast, the Bobby Dooley podcast. It's available at iTunes. It's available on SoundCloud, and it's available from the Sideshow Network. All right. Matt Lauer jokes that he's less popular than polio. Now, just understand one thing. There's a thing called a Q rating, not IQ, it's Q, and basically what a Q rating is one's recognizability. How top of mind are you as a brand or as a personality? In other words, it rates the strength of, quote, brand. And when we talk about a brand, we're talking about a person, a TV show, a brand. According to this, things aren't going so well for Matt Lauer lately. The once beloved Today host has taken a beating in the media, sparked by the awkward departure of co-host Ann Curry from the NBC show. I must have missed that because, in fact, I know I missed it. In fact, I know 99% of the American people missed it. Because while the media is paying attention to Matt Lauer and the Today show, and the Today show is paying attention to the Today show, and the people that watch TV may be paying attention to the Today show, there ain't a whole hell of a lot of people watching TV anymore, not compared to like even 5 years ago. So when we talk about the Today Show and Matt Lauer being in the news, what news are we talking about?
What do you mean?
I mean, if there's three guys, this is the simplest way I can put it. If there's three guys watching television and that's it, and all three of them are watching the Today Show, you can say the Today Show has a monster rating in people that watch TV, 100%. But there's only three of them.
What?
What do you mean?
Don't start acting stupid, okay?
No, I'm even having a hard time with that. So if there's three people...
Are you guys crazy? I'm saying if there's only three people... If only three people in the whole world watch television.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you understand? If only three people in the whole world watch television and they're all watching the Today Show, you could say that the Today Show has a monster number. They've got 100% rating. They're doing phenomenally. But that means that there's a whole lot of other people that aren't even paying attention to TV. And that's what's going on in the world of television. More and more people are leaving TV, not leaving watching television so much as leaving traditional television. They don't want to watch shows when they're told to watch them. They don't want to have to watch a show at 8 o'clock because that's when the network says the show is on. They don't want to have to watch a show at 7:30 in the morning because that's when the network says it's on. People want to watch shows when they want to watch shows. And as the result, these live scheduled shows, especially these shows that are dealing with news, unless the news is really compelling, people are simply not going to watch it. And a show like the Today Show, are you going to watch that? Are you going to watch that on Hulu? Are you going to TiVo that? I mean...
Well, if there is someone that is compelling and interesting...
Yeah, if they have on a guest that I would want to see, you know, yes and yes I would, but probably not.
Okay,
Yeah, that's great, bud. Thank you very much.
You're making fun of me.
No, we're not making funny. What?
I was going to say, I don't know what role Matt Lauer played in the Ann Curry departure. I have my suspicions. I have my suspicions. But I don't know what role he played. But if I found out, because Ann Curry was a darling. She was an absolute peach. I thought she was absolutely adorable. And, you know, she was so beautiful. And that's because she had some, you know.
No, are we?
What are you whispering for?
Excuse me, I'm not talking to you, bud. You know what I'm saying.
No, I don't know what you're saying. What?
Ann Curry was gorgeous.
Yes, I agree.
And that's because she had...
Oh, Margaret, I can't hear you.
I'm not going to say she had white blood.
See, just like my mom.
Whoa, God, that's still racism.
What is racist? How dare you call me racist?
Margaret, she was pretty because she had some white blood.
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
No, I said she's pretty because she's mixed race.
Yeah, okay, we'll be right back and we'll take this up on the other side. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
What about the most popular baby names from 1890? You don't want to mention that, do you? Because they're all hellbound.
What's hellbound about the names from 1890?
Bertha?
Sheesh.
Phil.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that name Bertha, that's a hellbound name.
Phil Hendry.
You should tell that story.
I will. Welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch, and that's the name of our forthcoming live show, the one-man show, the Phil Hendry Show, the show coming to you, near you, somewhere in the vicinity of you. You may have to walk to us. We may have to walk to you. We may have to get together, but somehow we'll find each other. As we bring to you yet another offering from the Phil Hendry Show, we've brought you, of course, our... Well, the multifaceted aspects of our radio show, the multimedia aspects of our radio show, and our website. And now we reach out to you with a live show. By the way, in conjunction with the live performance, we do have planned for the summer as well a video cast, which is going to be completely different from what we've done. In point of fact, it's going to be the very first time that I've ever actually sat down and talked comedy with other people. And our video cast will be commencing this summer, and it will feature me, Margaret, talking to younger comics, younger humorists, younger comic actors, younger, you know, comedy writers, people that have been influenced by me, people who worship me, not unlike a god.
Well, now, wait just a minute.
I'm kidding, okay? I'm joking.
You bought into it, too.
You know what I think I'm going to do?
What? Wow! That's dirty pool.
Boy, you hit him pretty hard, huh?
Oh, I tickled him. So which is it? Are they kissing your rear end or what?
No, they're not kissing. It's going to be me talking comedy and talking the, you know, we're going to be talking comedy and we're going to be talking humor. We're going to be talking performing humor with young up-and-coming comics. It's something that I've wanted to do. For a long time, it's going to be a video cast. It's going to be an actual sit-down sort of roundtable. We're hopeful, and I think we will be able to produce this at a local comedy club here in the El Pacifico. I will not name which one that would be.
Ventura Harbor.
What did I just say?
Hey, man.
Well,
what did I just say?
Said not to mention it?
Yeah. So why did you mention it?
Because I wanted to.
Yeah, man, that's real selfish of you, man. When he said don't mention it, you do it because you want to. You think people are going to like you for that?
Well.
That's why he does it. You think everybody's going to kiss your ass and go, ooh, Bud told us, even when Phil said no. You're just Bud, you're an idiot.
Well, you weren't going to say nothing.
That's because he didn't want to say anything.
The reason why I didn't say anything, Bud, is have I formalized the relationship with those guys? Have they said, have we got this thing set in stone? No! So when you mention it, now it sounds, these guys are probably, maybe they're listening, they're going, well, wait a minute, man, we haven't exactly nailed this thing down yet. What the hell is Phil doing?
What?
Oh, boy.
Don't you understand what he's saying, man?
Ah, that's a lot of gobbledygook. You know as well as I do, you're going to do it.
Bud, that's not for you to decide. That ain't for you to decide. That's for me, okay? Me. The faculty and administration of LaSalle High School.
What?
That's exactly what the teacher said to me once when he was yelling at me. He said, "We do, Mr. Henry, we do. The faculty administration of LaSalle High School." And he was pointing at himself, and I always thought it was funny.
Oh, is that the priest? Or what was he?
He was a brother, a Christian brother.
They're the ones that make the wine?
They did.
Are they gay?
They were. No, they're not. So anyway, so that'll be fun. These are some things that are coming up. And as we mentioned, tomorrow drops another Bobby Dooley podcast. And we also have episode 146 of the Phil Henry podcast. This episode is a classic. You got to check it out. It's there at iTunes. It's there at SoundCloud. It's there at the Sideshow Network. In this particular podcast, it is a classic of Bobby Dooley. If I don't know if you remember the famous Don't Get Between a Dog and Its Meat episode. And this is the day before Y2K when Bobby went into a one of these major, you know, club-type stores, and she got into a hair-pulling fight with another woman over a bottle of water, the last one that was on the shelf.
Can you imagine not having the self-respect to restrain yourself?
Well, this was Y2K. I mean, there was people that were, you know, flipping out. And Bobby got into a hair-pulling contest with this woman and essentially said the following thing, that if it was down between her and this other woman's family, Bobby's family would have more of a right to repopulate the earth after the radioactivity dies down.
What is this idiot talking about?
She was talking about after Y2K, if somehow the nuclear reactors blew up or you know, and the human race was wiped out, the only family that would be worthy enough to repopulate the earth would be her own.
Well, you know, that woman is, I really, I don't see any good reason for her to continue breathing.
Well, come on.
Well,
all right, so anyway, that's Bobby Dooley's podcast. I thought you were getting along with her.
I do get along with her, but there's still no reason for her to keep breathing. I mean, I like her. In fact, I love her, but I can't think of a reason for her to continue to breathe.
Okay, so that's the Bobby Dooley podcast, and also, that's the Phil Henry podcast, but it does feature a Bobby Dooley segment. Chris Humphries is being sued by a clothing store in Beverly Hills, according to news reports out on Thursday. Scott Hill, which is a famous clothier of men in Beverly Hills, according to these news reports, has already filed a lawsuit against the Brooklyn Nets NBA star. This, according to TMZ, in the lawsuit, Scott Hill has claimed that Humphries was given a 30% discount on everything in the store as part of an agreement that would also see the basketball star deliver two NBA clients within a 12-month period. And talking to us from the Sherman Oaks Galleria tonight is Chris Norton. Chris is a telemarketer for a pharmaceutical firm in Hermosa Beach, California, but he is also a prospective adult film producer, and he joins us from the Galleria Mall. Chris, you're familiar with, you know, well-dressed, the well-dressed young man. I imagine you have to be well-dressed for your, you know, job and your, you know, your intentional career or the intended career of being an adult film star.
Mr. Henry, if you wouldn't mind, I just wanted to move away from, there's a kid here that, has all of a sudden there's a kid here that's starting to bother me. Hi, how you doing? Yeah, what's up? His mom is pretty hot, but yeah, Mr. Henry, really what you're talking about when you're talking about Chris Humphries is a guy who is one of the top single bachelors of the NBA. Chris Humphries, as you know, was hooked up to possibly one of the most eligible, most tastiest of the bachelorettes of Kim Kardashian. And it don't get much more tasty than that in terms of the sexuality, the whole cess package that she had. And Chris Humphries, if you want to think about it, I mean, just stop and think about it for a second. Chris Humphries was, excuse me, I don't mean to be crude, but he was tagging that. And I have to say that Chris Humphries, in my estimation, in terms of his ability to access sets like that, that's pretty special. So I think Scott Hill, which is the Beverly Hills store, Mr. Henry, that was looking to trying to get Chris Humphries to bring some NBA stars in. I understand that. I think that's important. They do want to expand their brand and expand their brand out into NBA, okay? But I think they do need to understand that even if it was just Chris Humphries, they've been able to access a NBA star whose access to the sets of Kim Kardashian is unprecedented, and his ability to access that set is probably ongoing. I would not doubt that Chris Humphries right now still has access to it.
He's got access to what? To
Kim Kardashian and the says, you know, the two of them. I mean, think about it. If you think about it, Chris Humphries was able to access the primo says of Kim Kardashian. And, you know, my hat's off to him. My hat's off to him, and that's just special, you know, and that's excellent. I mean, that's just excellent if you think about it.
Talking to Chris Norton here about Chris Humphries. And what are you laughing at, bud?
Nothing.
I'm sorry, is Dickman laughing at something?
Yeah, what are you laughing at, bud?
Nothing.
Okay, you know, I mean, hey, Dickman?
Yeah.
You know what, man? I mean, the last time I was on a program, I was talking about stuff. Basically, I'm talking about things that you had no knowledge of, okay? You don't understand how sex and the sexuality.
He's still laughing. Bud, stop it, okay?
Sorry.
You know what, man? I'm not even. I know what he's laughing about. He's laughing because it beats crying. You know, laugh, man, instead of crying, because you don't have the access to the sense, and I do. What was that?
That's him laughing. Let's just.
You know, hold on, man. Hey, man.
Talking to me?
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, you're talking to me, though, okay?
All right, but I just want to say to Dickman, you know, as far as I'm concerned, man, it doesn't matter to me. My life is excellent, and this, you know. Okay, Phil, go ahead.
Bud, go into the kitchen and stand there until you stop laughing.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, I just think that Bud Dickman, he wants to make an ass of himself. That's fine. Actually, you know, if you think about it, Dickman, he does not have access to the type of sex and sexuality that I do, so.
You're absolutely right. He doesn't. All right, getting back to Chris Humphries. Now, the $52,000 represents the breach of agreement that Scott Hill claimed. Essentially, what they're saying is this. Chris Humphries had a 30% discount on everything in the store as part of this agreement that would see the basketball star deliver two NBA clients within a 12-month period. They figure that he owes them $52,000 in breaching this deal. Now, don't you think, for a guy like Chris Humphries, don't you think that would be an easy thing for him to get a couple of guys that he knows in the NBA to go on into to Scott Hill and buy some clothes?
Yeah, I think it would be very easy, Mr. Henry, but I think what we're missing is a very important point here. Chris Humphries, as I said, I think Scott Hill is missing the point that they have you know, coming into their store, a NBA star who has the sexual energy and has the sexuality and says he's had sex with Kim Kardashian, okay, and he's probably, you know, and if, unless I miss my guess, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to nobody, but he's probably had sex with, I wouldn't doubt if he's had sex with Chloe, with Chloe, I forget the names of the different sisters. I know that there's four sisters and then there's a mother, but he's probably had sex with every sister. And so if you think about it, he's had sex with Chloe, Clarence. I'm sorry. Who are the sisters? I know he's had sex with a sister.
The sisters are Chloe, Courtney.
Yeah. Courtney, not Condoleezza.
No. Kim, Courtney, Chloe, Clib, not Clib.
No. I know what it is, man. It's Kim. It's Courtney. It's Chloe. It's I think that's it.
I thought there was like one more, but in any event, all the Kardashian sister is.
All right, hold on. We have to take a break, okay?
Yeah. I'm gonna think of the sister and see which sister.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Chris Norton is on with us to talk about Chris Humphries and the lawsuit of Chris Humphries. He's being sued by a clothier in Beverly Hills for $52,000. He promised to bring a couple of his NBA buddies in to buy clothes at Scott Hill, and that has not happened. And Chris Norton is taking Mr. Humphries' side, saying, if I'm Scott Hill, I'm happy it's just Chris Humphries coming into my store. What's with this, you know, suing him because they're not getting two extra clients? World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Chris Norton. Chris is with a pharmaceutical firm in Redondo Beach, California. He is also an aspiring adult film producer. He also has acted in adult films, and we're talking with him here about Chris Humphries, who is the NBA star with the Brooklyn Nets, currently being sued by a clothier in Beverly Hills for not bringing in two more NBA stars to complete what they say was a deal that they had with him, that he could take a 30% discount of their clothing if he brought in other NBA business. Margaret, you had a question?
Yes, I want to know why it is you're talking to a man who's a prospect... Excuse me for a moment. I guess you want me to leave?
Yes, I would.
My God.
Oh, don't, Mr. Norton, you have no business at all.
Excuse me, Ms. Gray, but I've done a lot of disgusting things. I've done a lot of disgusting things, but I never belch. I never belch.
You've never belch?
I said I never belch.
Are you listening to this retard?
Margaret, you're the one that sat there and belched.
Do you want me to have an aneurysm? Am I supposed to hold it in and have my guts
I would just echo what you said, Mr. Henry. That was grotesque. It was gross. And I never belch like what she done.
Yeah, never belch. I think you're disgusting. I think you probably are just riddled with venereal disease.
Get out of here, would you please? I apologize, Mr. Norton. You know, there can be a lot of things said about a lot of people's professions, but Miss Gray is the one.
Miss Gray is the one.
Margaret.
Margaret.
So are you going to be a child about this?
Are you going to be a child about this?
Wow, what a baby.
Wow, what a baby. You know, Phil, too, can play at this game.
You sat there and belched.
You sat there and belched.
Okay, Ms. Gray, if you want to be known as a pig that belches, all right.
No, I'm known as a lady.
No, you're known as a pig. You're a pig and a hog. And the way you belch, that's the way a hog belches.
God, I hate you.
Okay, can we continue with this interview? That was the most vile thing I've ever...
Yeah, what y'all belch for?
Now, see, a lot of people can... I've had a lot of people judge me, Mr. Henry. A lot of people judge Chris Norton. They like to say, hey, I'm better than Chris Norton. But I'm not coming on your radio show and sitting here belching and acting like a hog or a hog on the run, you know? I'm trying to tell you that Chris Kardashian... The basketball player, well, not Chris Kardashian's not a basketball player, but Chris, Kim Humphries.
No, Chris Humphries.
Is the chick, or...
No, Chris Humphries is a basketball.
Oh, yeah. Chris Humphries plays basketball. I think if Chris Humphries plays basketball, again, I think we have to understand that there's a tip of the cap to him for his ability to have engaged in a very excellent, I think, round assess with the very hot and sassy Chris Kardashian, or however you say it. And I just don't think that Scott Hill has a leg to stand on. And the reason why I don't think he has a leg to stand on, because he's only one-legged. That's just a joke I'm making, you know.
Yeah, I leave the jokes to the comedians, you know.
Yeah, well, at least I know how to say comedian, not comedian. What a...
Okay, all right. So that's a nice joke. But the fact of the matter is, you believe that this guy warrants a break from Scott Hill. no lawsuit. All right. One final question here for you, Chris. You mentioned that you're going to be, you know, moving on from your pharmaceutical job, and you're going to be producing adult films, and you're going to be starring in adult films. When is that actually going to take place? Because I know you've been working for the pharmaceutical firm here for quite some time.
It's a very good question, Mr. Henry. Right now, I'm biding my time. I'm saving up enough money to eventually move into my cousin's garage. I had to move back in with my parents because initially my mobile party business, which was off the charts, just doing so good off the charts, but the economy went down through the floor, and so that sort of wrecked that, and I had to move back in with my parents. Well, I just received word yesterday that my cousin, Jason, has made his garage available, and I'll be moving into his garage this week, and I can continue my efforts at setting up my production company, which will be Norton Explodes Films. And
Hold on for a minute, Margaret. You're...
Yes, I belched. I'm back. I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
The name of your business is Norton Explodes?
No, ma'am. I've told you this many times. My name is Norton. My name is Chris Norton, and the name of my company is Norton Explodes.
Yes, Norton Explodes.
No, I said Norton Explodes.
Well, what are you saying?
Norton Explodes.
Norton Explodes?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you said Norton Explodes.
Now you're deaf and you're stupid and you're also very ugly.
You know what? I hope he gets castrated.
You're the one that said Ann Curry is pretty because she has white blood. You're racism. And I'm going to tell. I'm Chris Norton. I'm going to tell him.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. And Margaret.
What?
You started that whole fight, that whole ruckus that took the whole thing sideways, okay? We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, it's a good thing it went sideways because that guy is vile.
Phil Hendry.
You're the one that started talking about a sister.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now we're on the topic of baby names. We had the 18. I just pulled up the names of what?
What did you? You said you just pulled what?
Pulled up the names of babies from 1890.
Well, Phil, you go. I just got up.
Yeah, it did. It was kind of weird, Mr. Henry.
Well, you know, you guys ought to quit being so hyper about the FCC. I didn't say anything dirty. All right.
It almost was. You were saying while I was pulling. I just, you know, we just got back from the break and I was pulling. I didn't know what you were going to say.
Oh, you guys got to be kidding me, okay?
Ms. Henry, I mean, you can't just say that we got to keep it clean for the FCC, and then when we try to keep it clean the FCC, you're saying that we're crazy.
Yeah, but you guys ought to wait and see what I'm going to say. Don't you think I'm professional enough? I'm not going to sit here and say anything. I was talking about bringing something up on the internet, not pulling something, as in you know what.
Yeah, but then you said you got it up.
I didn't say I got it up. I said I got something up. On the screen here, you knuckleheads.
Well, did you call me a knucklehead? Do I look like one of the Three Stooges to you?
No, but
I'm talking about these two. All right. 10 most popular baby names of 1890. What's
up with you, Margaret? Well, I don't like being called a knucklehead.
Okay, I apologize.
Thank you.
10 most popular baby names of 1890. John, William, James, George, Charles, Frank, Joseph, Robert, Henry, Harry.
Big deal, man. So what?
Yeah, what's unusual about that?
What's unusual about that? When's the last time you heard of any of those names, okay?
Well, I mean, Frank and George, yeah, I have.
Well, and then we get the weird ones are the ladies' names. Mary.
Ladies? These are babies.
I mean babies. Mary, Anna, Elizabeth, Margaret, Emma, Florence, Ethel, Minnie, Clara, Bertha.
So?
Yeah, so what?
You know what? I'm going to get up and leave here in about 5 seconds if you guys don't... Bertha, huh?
I was just kidding around.
So those are the names from 1890. Those are the baby names. So things have changed quite a bit. In fact, you can go decade by decade. Those are the number one. Let's just look at the number 10 names. There's a Bertha and Harry. Now, I don't know. I know Harry because there's a Harry.
The guy that's in England.
Yeah, the guy that's in England.
You mean Prince Harry?
Yeah, Prince Harry. All right, so that was 1890. Now, if you just go to 1900, did things change that much in 10 years? Lillian became big. Henry, but guess what? The top two names, still the same, John and Mary. Go to 1910, the top two names, John and Mary. So things, and as you get later on through the century, and then you come into the 21st century, between the year 2000, the top two names in the year 2000, Hannah and Michael. Now let's go to 2010 and see how things changed. And it's changed quite radically. In the year 2010, the two top names, Sophia and Aiden. Aiden.
Some of these names are so absolutely pretentious, it makes me want to just chirp up. It really does.
Yeah, but again, Jason J. Delmonico.
That's not anywhere near as weird as Finnegan and Aiden. I'm not going to name one of my children after an elf or something that... The Hobbit, or I think that's where a lot of these names come from, The Hobbit or the Elves. You know, the what are the books, the Harry Potter?
Well, I don't know, maybe. I mean, some of the stuff may be coming from that sort of fanciful fairy tale stuff. But this is in 2010, and in 3 years, the names have changed quite dramatically to Finnegan and Thor. But here is in the year 2010, the top 10 boys' names, Liam. This whole Irish thing is very interesting. The whole, you see all these names that are rather, you're right, rather fanciful, that very Irish, maybe even Gaelic. There's this whole Northern European thing going on. Like, you know, let's get really white.
Well, now, wait just a minute.
I'm telling you, that's what's going on. We need to get it whiter and whiter.
So, in other words, you're saying that these names is white.
Yeah.
What about the people that are black?
Well, the people that are black, you know, you can look up African-American names. They're quite different from these top 10 names. I would suspect Aiden, Jacob, Jackson, Ethan, Jaden, Noah, Logan, Caden, and Lucas. These are all the names of the most popular kids in the year 2010. Most popular names in the year 2010. That's 3 years ago. I don't know how many of these names are actually names that black parents give their children. I would suspect that these are mostly names that are, you know, names given by strictly Anglos, and I'm not even Hispanic. Because I bet you if you looked up top African-American names of babies, they're going to be really different, okay?
Like what?
Like, you know...
You know, they're like Mohammed and Ahmed and stuff like that. Oh, get out of here, man. You talking about Muslim names?
I'm not saying a Mohammed and Ahmed.
You guys are saying... That gotta look up black names, because that's, you're gonna get nothing but camel names.
Well, we're not saying camel names so much as we're saying people that ride the camel. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, it's a camel rider. Hey, man, watch it.
Look, I tell you what we'll do. During the next break, we'll look up African-American names. They're gonna be different. But the point that I'm trying to make here, these names are all extremely European and extremely, excuse me for saying, very Northern European. If these are the most popular names, people are really digging on names that...
I don't think it's Northern European so much as it is reflective of an elven past. That is a past when man was more conversant with these extra-dimensional elven peoples, you see. Now then, if we read Tolkien...
Wait, hold on for just a minute.
Phil, don't get dramatic.
I'm not getting dramatic. I want to be very clear. These names reflect an elven past.
Yeah, like back in the, when we had contact with, you know, alien culture.
Yeah. What do you mean, yeah?
I think I understand.
You guys are idiots, okay? You're idiots.
What? You're calling me an idiot.
I'm calling you an idiot if you're telling me that these names are reflective of some memory, some racial memory of a connection to the elven people. You're talking about elves?
Well, yes. I guess that's what that means. I don't know what elven means.
I thought it was just like a guy named Elvin.
Yeah, like Elvin Bishop?
Well, yes.
Oh, I see. So this is back when we were in contact with Elvin Bishop? You know, you guys need a psychiatrist, I'm telling you.
Bill, you're not understanding.
No, Mr. Henry, what we're saying is the Elvin people.
No, you're not saying, Jack. You're babbling now. All right, so anyway, those are the names from 2010. So let's get back to 2013, something that I can relate to. All right, well, here's 2012. This is just last year. Aiden, that name Aiden popping up again. Aiden, Jackson, Ethan, Liam, Mason, Noah, Lucas, Jacob, Jaden, and Jack. I got friends of mine that have named their kids Jack. As a matter of fact, I got a buddy of mine who named his two kids, no, his first son's named Jack Benny because his grandfather was Benjamin. And so just to be cute, I think they named him Benny.
They didn't name him Benjamin.
No, they named him Benny, literally. So, all right, so that's last year. Now we have 2013, as I was just saying, and all of a sudden it changes. Bryce, Christian, Finnegan, Marlowe, Marnie. I mean, this has gone, like, off the charts weird. Phaedra, Severin, Thor. Stuff is getting, like, way, way out there. I don't think names have been like this. What do you think the top baby names were of 1610?
But 1610, probably name like, you know, blah, 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 like Christian, Jacob. Oh, Billy the Shoemaker.
Billy the Shoemaker? No, just the first name.
That was a first name.
That wasn't any first name. Guys had first names back then. They didn't have names like Billy the Shoemaker for hundreds of years. They had names back then, probably William, Steve, you know.
Well, I don't think they had Steve, did they?
In 1610? No, they probably had Stephen. I bet you the names weren't all that different. But now we're entering a whole new thing here, man. We're entering into a whole new world of baby. We got babies named Marlowe, Finnegan, Mavis, who tells us that that name is hellbound. Severin, as in Doc.
What do you mean, Doc?
There was a guy named Doc Severin. You guys don't remember.
Doc Severin? Well, that's not... Do you think they're named after Doc Severin?
No, Severin, this Severin is named after some character in a TV show. So in any event, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The female names, they've changed. There's Madison, and Madison is no longer a popular girl's name. You got Madison, Mia, Chloe, Zoe, Lily, Ava, Isabella, Olivia, Emma, and Sophia. That's just from last year. And now all of a sudden, it's Mavis, it's Marnie, it's Phaedra, it's Linnea. I'd like to meet the guy that names a kid Thor.
Yeah, probably guys read too many comic books.
I think you're right. It's a guy that reads way too many comic books. All right, so let's get off the baby name thing, unless Mavis wants to call back in. Zombie fragrance is killing the ladies. And wait till you hear what they removed from a guy's you-know-what, man. You ain't going to believe this in a million years. And we're going to get Steve Bozell on to comment on this, because Mr. Bozell, and I have to, you know, I've got to say he's got courage, because Mr. Bozell, a number of years ago, was admitted to an emergency room one night with a Bic pen that was, shall we say, uncomfortably placed inside his body. We're going to talk to him about this most recent story, as weird as it gets, when we come back in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth
is our bitch. Are you trying to tell me that Steve Bozell...
The Phil Hendry Show.
He wedged a Bic pen.
I'm not saying. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. Is it bleeding now, Dan? Excuse me, folks, but I'm having a technical issue. Are you hearing phone bleed here? No? Okay. We had a little bit of a technical thing, whereas when we say that something's bleeding, what we mean essentially is that you're hearing audio from a source in a very, very, very barely audible, it's just a little tiny, you know, but that's what we call it's bleeding. It's bleeding audio, and we thought we heard something, and now it's gone, so...
Well, is that professional to...
Yes, it's professional, Margaret.
All right, I'm just checking.
You could ask me that off the air.
Well, I'm sorry, Phil. I don't mean to offend you, but I think it's better that we deal with this.
Yeah, just like you think it's better that you belch on the air.
Would you get over that?
Hey, hey, come on. You get past it.
Exactly. Get past it.
No, I'm not going to get past it. It's rude and it's crude and it's unnecessary. You sitting there going burp.
Phil, I didn't go burp. I let loose with gas. Otherwise, guess what happens? Let me just tell you something, Phil, okay?
Here we go. You're going to tell me you're going to get an aneurysm?
Excuse me for just 1 minute. You repress a belch, and it will destroy the esophagus. I'm telling you right now, it could blast through your esophagus and blast through the heart like an explosion in the chest. So that's what you want. In other words, you want my guts to blow up. I don't get it.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Oh, okay.
Margaret, I just don't buy that. I don't think that if you hold back a belch, your guts are going to explode. Speaking of your guts exploding, though, here's one for the books. Some sick, twisted creep in China was admitted to a local hospital. I should say he admitted himself after guess what was found stuck up his you-know-what.
Oh, my God.
You kidding?
An eel.
Oh! Poor guy. I mean, where was he swimming?
He wasn't swimming anywhere, man.
Are you trying to tell me that a guy...
Yes, I am. That's exactly what I'm telling you. This freak, this weird ass, he had an eel shoved up there. An eel. A 20-inch-long Asian swamp eel. Because he saw it done in a porn movie. And he had to endure all-night surgery to have this thing extracted. The animal, oh, I don't even want to get into it, but this jackass, apparently, I'm not going to get into the graphic specifics of it.
Let me see that. The eel chewed.
Give me that. Don't take that away from me.
I don't want to hear the graphic, Bud.
I thought it'd be kind of interesting.
Hey, tell you what, Bud, tell you what. Well, let's go down to Chinatown, and we'll find a porn movie, and you can watch it all night long, you freak.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
I'm not a freak. I don't want to go see it.
Well, you're looking for all the details on this thing. God, man, you must be really hot for this kind of stuff.
Get out of here. Shut up.
No, I won't shut up. I think, hey, remind me, Robert, let's get Bud for his birthday the eel movie.
Yeah, I'll write that down. Happy birthday to you, Bud.
Get out of here. I don't want to look at no eel.
Yeah, well, then quit grabbing a copy out of my hand. Happy birthday to Bud.
Shut up.
Happy birthday. Here's your eel movie, Bud. Oh, man.
Oh, my God, Phil, you went, here's your eel movie, Bud.
Is that what I did?
Yes, I just...
Well, at least it wasn't me repressing a belch, huh?
Exactly.
So anyway, according to the Huffington Post, which is uniquely positioned to report on a story like this... I'm kidding. Anyway, according to the Huffington Post... A translation of a blogger's post on a Chinese message board forum. The eel reportedly perforated his large intestine and became stuck in the body cavity. God! The Asian swamp eel, also known as the rice eel or the rice paddy eel, is a snake-shaped fish that is commonly sold live at food markets in East Asian countries. This sick freak saw this in a porn movie, and guess what? In 2012, a New Zealand man had to have an eel removed from his posterior. In 2010, a Chinese man died. From this kind of thing. Get a clue, you sick asses out there. As a matter of fact, don't. Go ahead. Keep putting eels up your asses, and I hope you all die. I really do.
Well, that's awfully hostile, Phil.
Yeah, why does a guy gotta die on account of just he has biblical knowledge of an eel?
Are you trying to be funny or something?
No.
What do you mean, biblical knowledge of an eel? I just think people like that are so... twisted, man. I mean, there's such a sexual compulsion there. Get laid like a normal man, okay? Go out, find a woman or a man or something, you know, and do it like a human being. Instead of with an animal. There's something wrong with a guy like that. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, you want the guy to die and everything.
I hope he does die. You know, it is technically animal abuse. As a matter of fact, it says right here that this guy is going to be charged with animal cruelty as soon as he's out of the hospital. They're going to slap a criminal charge on the guy. Good. If for no other reason than he made me read the story about him, I happen to be in the radio business and the news business, and I didn't want to have to read this. And this guy went out, got an eel, did what he did with the eel, knowing full well that there's a guy in the United States named Phil Hendry's going to have to read about it, and it's going to make me sick to my stomach. Thank you.
Yay! Very well said, sir.
Thank you. Cut. All right, next story. Zombie fragrance kills the ladies. With near-constant signs that the end is near, it's oddly comforting to envision a tattered world in which the only thing that matters is the zombie apocalypse. That's the backdrop for the new undead-inspired fragrances from Demeter. Zombie, for him and her, are designed to help the living fly under the radar of their reanimated enemies. And friends, let's be honest, you'll have some annoying zombie pals. Fans of Walking Dead will no doubt recognize this tried-and-true strategy to avoid getting your brain eaten. A press release from Demeter claims the product is eminently wearable. That statement is, to put it charitably, untrue. Zombie for him smells a lot like the volcano exhibit at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. For the incredibly high percentage of readers who find that description useless and obnoxious, let's let Demeter explain what the company thinks of its pungent product. Think forest floor. Zombie for him is a combination of dried leaves, mushrooms, mildew, moss, and earth. Nevertheless, we're telling you it smells just like the volcano exhibit. Zombie for her? Well, it smells like grass, but not fresh-smelling grass. It's more like the lawn clippings that have been sitting in trash bags for weeks because nobody wants to lug those things to the curb to be picked up. Demeter says there's also dregs from the bottom of the wine barrel for a feminine touch. And while we're on the subject, how about an old, nasty, dirty, feminine napkin? Yes?
Give me that. It doesn't say that.
Well, I thought I'd throw it in.
That is unnecessary.
Oh, yeah, okay, but the other stuff is fine.
By the way, what do you think?
I think she is horrific.
I think it's... We're looking at a picture, ladies and gentlemen, of Natalie Suleiman, who is the Octomom, and they have made her up to look a little bit like Angelina Jolie. She still looks... Well, I hate to say it. She still looks like a pig, but...
I think she's pretty good looking.
Well, you would, bud, but she still looks like a pig, but a pig that you might keep as a, I don't know, a pet.
Well, that's very flattering, Margaret.
Well, I'm trying to say something positive.
A pig that you might keep as a, she looks disgusting, and that's coming from a guy that looks disgusting. All right, isn't that pretty sad, Natalie Suleiman, or whoever the hell you are, that a guy like Phil Hendry, I wouldn't go near you with a 10-foot pole, and it's been years for me. All right.
No, it hasn't, man. You told me the other day.
Shut up. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Make sure you go out and get that zombie for her. You smell just like a dirty...
Phil Hendry.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We've got Frank Gray on the line. Frank Gray is, as you know, Margaret Gray's husband, an attorney, one of the entertainment attorneys that we talk to from time to time on the program. And, Frank, it's good to talk with you. I haven't spoken to you one-on-one in a while, but you were asking Margaret about that book that I'm reading, about the Joseph Plum Martin book. That's not Frank Gray. Where is he?
I've got to get him on line number two first.
What did you just say?
I got to get a line number two.
Yeah, because all the other lines is out. I've got to get line two.
I don't know what that means. All the other lines are out. You got to get line two. Is that him there? Hey, Frank. Frank Gray, how you doing?
Hey, young man. How are you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
I am better than custard, Bill. What's going on?
Well, you, Margaret said that you wanted to know about the book that I'm reading.
Well, I wanted to find out about this Joseph Plum Martin. He was telling me that you're reading a book about this Revolutionary War. Did I get her name right?
Yeah, Joseph Plum Martin is the name of the soldier. It's a book that I first discovered
Well, we can get into the backstory later on. I don't want to get too deep into how you discovered it. And I wanted to get the name of it because Margaret was telling me about this book that you were reading, and he said it was fascinating because it was the day-to-day story of the foot soldier in the Revolutionary War. And I said, my God, that sounds fascinating. And he told me the name of the soldier was Joseph Plum Martin, and she came from Connecticut. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right. And tell me, where are you in the book?
Well, right now, I'm at a point where he has taken part. He just came down from New York. They were involved in the Battle of Harlem Heights. They went up to White Plains. They came down to Pennsylvania, Germantown. They defended the fort there on the Delaware. This young soldier was involved in quite a few significant battles, and he's also very honest and candid when he says, I want to relate something that happened. I wasn't a part of it, but here's something that took place that was quite well known. And it was one of the battles that took place outside of Philadelphia when the British were occupying Philadelphia. The other thing is that he said, I want to set the record straight on a couple of things. And one of them was very interesting. When the British came ashore on Long Island at Kipps Bay, there's a story that was repeated about a Revolutionary War soldier who said, I'm standing my ground, else I would have been trampled by all the cowards, because, you know, the militia fled from the British and just sort of just ran. I mean, they were just frightened by all these British guys coming on shore.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. Well, Joseph Plum Martin says in his book that that's absolute nobody that day didn't run. He said everybody in the militia ran. It was just, it was either you did that or you're going to be killed. He said there wasn't anybody standing their ground and saying everybody was a coward, but I'm the one brave guy. He said that we ran. They finally stopped when they came up, when they found the Continental Army. And these were the actual regular soldiers. Those guys, they kind of marshaled around them and turned around and counterattacked the British and defeated them at Harlem Heights, which was the first victory for Washington in the Revolutionary War.
And all right, so that's a very interesting story. So she says that that they stopped when they found the Continental Army. Now, isn't it true, and I don't know what she says about this, but isn't it true that the Continental Army was very respected by the militia?
That's true. That's true. You know, history has a way of maligning armies and playing up the role of militias. And the militias were necessary in the Revolutionary War, but even Plum Martin said if it wasn't for the Continental Regulars, the war never would have been won. He said that the militia was so often routed, not very well led. Once they got incorporated into the Army and they had good officers and they got good training, things got better for them. And he said, but it was the Continental Army that saved the day time and time again. And so, yeah, that's an interesting part of the book. Where I am right now is they've just left that fort that they were successful in defending, and it's getting cold. I think they're about ready to go to Valley Forge. They're always hungry. They're always cold. They're always barefoot.
Those guys really suffered. And, you know, Washington, it's a good thing that she had the respect of her troops because... I can tell you they probably would have deserted a lot sooner, and that's very interesting. So the name of the book is what?
Well, it's just Joseph Plum Martin, and it's a book that I think it's called something like the Narrative or Remembrances of a Revolutionary War Soldier. And he wrote this down later in his life. He's only 16 years old when he was in the militia. And he reenlisted. He was in once, and then his time expired, and then he went back and reenlisted again and was involved in quite a few fights. I mean, I think he was involved really in all 8 years of that war. It's pretty interesting.
All right, so her name is...
Hold on for just a minute, would you, Frank?
Yeah, sure.
Put him on hold, will you?
What?
Put him on hold.
What do you want to put me on hold for?
Just talk. When I ask you to put a guy on hold, put him on hold, bud. Don't ask me why.
Well, I just felt it was necessary.
What's up?
I want to tell the audience about his gender confusion. He's sitting there calling George Washington she.
Well, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I got an audience out there that's probably listening for the first time hearing this guy talking about him like her. You know.
Well, I think a lot of people is used to it by now.
Not new listeners. No, they're not. You know, Margaret was telling me that she, Joseph Plum Martin in Washington, I mean, come on.
Well, what's the big wow, Phil?
We're talking about the president and the general and the whole, you know, when I say get him back on, then you, okay, go ahead. Yeah, so anyway, sorry, Frank, we had a technical difficulty, so,
No, he didn't.
Shut up.
What did you say?
Nothing. So, I can certainly get the title of the book, and if you want, I'll email you the title, and I got it over at Amazon.
Oh, okay. So you got it at Amazon.com. Is that the place that you done that you went you did that you did get it at?
Yes, Amazon.com.
And let me ask you, because Margaret was saying that you got it, and you got a one click or something. I forget what he said, but he said that you got a one click.
Yeah, you can go to Amazon and you can do a one click purchase. And I tell you what, go to Amazon.com through my banner at Phil Henry Radio, okay?
Through the banner at Phil Henry Radio.
Yeah. Go to Amazon, just go through my Amazon.com banner there at Phil Henry Radio, and you, bang, you'll go to the books and look up, just look up Joseph Plum Martin. And then you can register, you get an account, and you just hit one click, and it'll electronically deliver it to your Kindle, or to your iPhone, or it'll deliver it to you, you know, by way of the mail.
Oh, that's pretty good. So, all right, so her name was, and she, did she ever meet George Washington?
Joseph Plum Martin?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't gotten any point. I do know that that he met Isaac Putnam, that he met Thomas Knowlton. I mean, he spoke of both of those. He spoke of Thomas Knowlton, really. Everybody loved Thomas Knowlton. Everyone respected and feared Putnam. And he hasn't offered an opinion yet on Washington. I think it's because he hasn't met him yet.
Oh, so she didn't meet her yet?
She didn't meet her?
Yeah, this guy Martin, he didn't meet her.
Oh, Martin didn't meet Washington.
Right.
Okay, yeah, no, not yet.
So she didn't meet her, all right. Well, when she does meet her, when do you think that she will?
I don't know, George.
What are you calling me George for?
I mean Frank, I'm sorry, I'm getting confused.
Almost like you've got gender confusion. All right, young man. Well, I'm going to be looking for that. Sounds like a great book. Like I said, my wife, Margaret, he told me about it. And thank God I've got him in my life.
All right, well, we'll see you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, what are you looking all creeped out for?
You got to get that guy fixed.
Phil, tell me about it. We've had him into specialists. He's had MRIs, he's had CAT scans, he's had dog scans.
Dog scan.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be funny.
How, did he ever meet her? Well, when does she... I mean, it's enough to... I can't, you know...
Well, don't take it personally. Frank loves George Washington. He really loved her.
All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to talk more about her, George Washington, and other news. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. And if you're wondering what that is behind me on Phil TV in HD, that looks like the planet Earth, and it's rotating very slowly as it begins to absorb the proper nutrients and all that stuff to create a vivid living planet. I don't know what happened.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This story of... I'm not exactly sure why I'm fascinated by the story. I suppose for the same reasons the rest of us are. Train wrecks are fun. And when we say train wrecks, it's the same reason why, you know, for the longest time people would wonder, well, why are the Kardashians so... why are the Kardashians so popular on television? There seems to be an awful lot of people that don't like them. I don't think that that necessarily is the case. I will say this, that it makes us feel better sometimes, that even people who have lots of money and have the means to a great life, we can actually watch these people go through their day and say, wow, I'm smarter than that person, and I never thought it possible. You know, I mean, how is it that they're so rich and so dumb? I really honestly think that that's part of the attraction. I know they've got fans because if you go over to Twitter and Bobby Dooley, Margaret, you don't follow any of the Kardashians, do you?
Oh, my God, no.
Well, Bobby does.
Yeah, well, that figures.
Okay, but she, if you look at some of the comments and if you look at some of the people that follow them, it's amazing. I mean, they are absolutely just in love with them, some of their more sycophantic fans. All right, Oblivion appears, Oblivion premieres in Los Angeles. This is a new movie with Tom Cruise. I think Morgan Freeman is also in it, and the Russian actress model Olga Kurylenko, or Kukulakuku, or...
Kukulakuku? What?
I don't know.
It's Olga Kukulakuku. It's no.
You know how to say it.
Yes, I do. It's Olga. Excuse me, but I cover these actors. Yes, it's Tom Cruise, it's who I interviewed. It's Morgan Freeman, who I've interviewed. And it is Olga Kurkululu Kuku. I don't know how to say it. It doesn't make any difference. She's never going to be anything.
Oh, I see. Have you interviewed her?
Have you interviewed her?
What's that mean, Phil?
Well, you're sitting there going, excuse me, I know how to do it. And you get to her name and it's Olga Kuklu Kuku. And then you say, well, it doesn't matter. She's never going to be anything.
She isn't going to be anything. She's beautiful. She's a model. Look, Americans chew these Russians up and spit them out. We don't care. Think of one Russian that has come over here as an actress and has really made
has made
an impression. Is that what you're looking for?
No, that's not what I'm looking for, but it'll do.
Think of a Russian?
Yes.
Mikhail Baryshnikov.
What a jack! He's a dancer, you jackass.
Hey, excuse me, that guy was in movies, wasn't he?
Well...
Yeah, Mikhail Baryshnikov and that other guy. That guy that was in, which one are you talking about? He's a Russian, and he was Alexander Kuluku, or I forget, but he was in that movie,
What are the name of these guys, man?
He was in that movie, Witness. It was about the Amish.
The Amish?
Yeah, it was Harrison Ford. It was Meg Tilly, or one of the Tilly sisters.
What do you mean, the Tilly sister?
Hey, bud, you know what? Don't even ask, okay? Because you don't know who it is, that doesn't mean anything. Because you don't know who it is, that doesn't mean anything. Okay? It's not like, uh-oh, Bud doesn't know, so that must mean everybody doesn't know. So just never mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who's Tilly?
Never mind who the Tilly sisters are, because it doesn't matter if you're asking me. There's Meg, and there's another one, and I forget her name. All right. So anyway, that other guy.
What other guy? All right, Phil, you said Mikhail Baryshnikov. All right, I'll give you that.
Then there was another guy, and I can't remember his name, but there was another guy. So that's two. Okay?
Yes, both men. But in recent years, we've had Russian after Russian after Russian pouring in here, trying to make it big in Hollywood, and they've been belly-flopping every last one of them. And do you know why? Because they're nice to look at, but those accents absolutely turn the stomachs of every good Christian soul. There.
What a xenophobe.
No, Phil.
God, Ms. Gray, that's pretty xenophobic.
You don't even know what it means.
What a xenophobe.
And why do you call me that?
They turn the stomach of every Christian soul.
I'm telling you, we don't like listening to that Russian guttural. We never have. The British accent we like, the Italian accent we love, the French accent we adore. But when we have to listen to those Russians with and look at this Olga Kulikulu, whatever her name is. She's looking Morgan Freeman up and down like all she has to do is bed him. And you know what? That's probably all she does have to do.
Well, boy, you got a big opinion of Mr. Freeman, too.
No, I don't have a very high opinion of him, but he knows that. He knows that. When I sit down with Morgan Freeman, he already knows that I think he's nothing more than an animal. He knows that, and he still gives me the interview.
When you sit down with Morgan Freeman, he knows you think that he's an animal.
Yes, and he has respect for that. When he sits down with me, he knows I'm looking at him, and all I see is somebody that just climbed out of a sewer.
Man, that's not very respectful of him.
Spit it out. That.
Well, it's not.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Why would he give you an interview?
Because he knows I tell the truth. I get the job done.
Yeah, okay. How about Tom Cruise? What kind of a guy is he?
Gay.
Okay.
Well, what are you laughing at?
All right, that's fine, Margaret. You know, I just got done with, by the way, my second book on Scientology. Tom Cruise comes off in these two books, the book that I read, Inside Scientology, and this one, Going Clear, which is the one about Hollywood, right?
Right.
Tom Cruise comes off as just this puffed up, pumped up jive ass. In other words, and it's not his fault, because essentially the point of the book is that the Scientology hierarchy protects him and shields him from the other realities of Scientology's upper workings. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, they've got all these punishments that they dole out. They have all of these different processes and different ways that they do things. But none of that stuff they show to Tom Cruise. All he knows is that when he goes to visit the headquarters there, he has this palatial residence that they give him, the finest food, the greatest time, the top-notch this and the top-notch that. And the guy has this idea that Scientology is just a bed of roses morning, noon, and night.
Well, of course they're going to protect him from all of the realities because they want him to be the spokesperson. Now, there was a film that came out in 1994 that allegedly, all right?
Okay.
Because I don't want this to be misunderstood, but it allegedly was a film of a top Scientology spokesperson engaged in gay sex.
You think it was Tom Cruise?
I'm not saying anything. I'm simply saying it was allegedly a top Scientology spokesperson involved in gayness.
Yeah, talk about gay.
I think so, yes.
And they covered it up.
Yes, they covered it up. In fact, I happen to know in reading the book you read, they brought in some pretty heavy hitters to cover that one up. I'm led to believe that, yes, it was Mr. Cruise.
Now, here's the thing that I read in that book. The guy that they kept worrying about being gay was not Tom Cruise. It was another Scientologist, John Travolta. Not once did I hear about them referencing Tom Cruise.
No, they're not going to reference Tom Cruise because they'll get sued. They know that they will be sued by Tom Cruise. The John Travolta rumors are so rife and have been so effervescent and ever-present, and I use the word effervescent to mean that they continue to bubble along, that even John Travolta can't sue at this point if he were straight, which I'm not sure that he is. Tom Cruise, on the other hand, he'll bring the holy terror of God on top of you if you even breathe the word gay in his direction. So that is what we're talking. Excuse me for 1 minute. I'm sorry, but isn't that worth it to hear all this good, you know, dish on Scientology?
No, it wasn't, because that Chinese food you ate, God. Whew.
Oh, man, spell over here.
Well, you've got no manners. You have no manners as a man, do you?
No, I have no manners as a man. By the way, thank you for your belch. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So getting back to Tom Cruise.
Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. By the way, that actress's name is Olga Kurylenko. And she's appearing in Oblivion, and it is a film. I don't know a lot about it, but it does have to do with aliens attacking Earth. So if you want to work L. Ron Hubbard into that, you may.
Well, I think it goes without saying.
No, it doesn't go without saying. No, it doesn't.
But it could be Xenu.
It don't go without saying that it's Xenu, okay? Look, just because it's in outer space, and I'm not sitting here, I'm not going to go into a big Scientology thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's Xenu.
Think about it, Phil. It's Tom Cruise. He's doing a film. He's doing a film about space aliens attacking. Why isn't this the final Xenu apocalypse?
Can we get off of Xenu, okay? And just, I don't want to talk about Scientology. All I'm saying is, it looks interesting. And Cruise has been doing a lot of these action movies lately. I mean, a lot of these very. Not since, and I can't really be sure, but the last real heavy dramatic piece I saw him in was the Magnolia. That's the, and I could be wrong about that. Yeah, it was Magnolia. But I didn't see, and I thought that was outstanding, but I didn't, since that time, I'm trying to think, I can tell you he's been in a whole lot of, and I liked War of the Worlds, man.
Oh, I thought it was terrible.
You didn't, I thought War of the Worlds was awesome. I thought it was great. I thought the only part of that movie that just got a little squirrely for me was the whole Tim Robbins. Tim Robbins was fine, as it goes, but he was a little, he was chewing the scenery up left and right in that one.
Yeah, that guy was talking about all them people, he was that nut, right?
Yeah, they were sucking blood out of everybody and putting them up in a basket.
They were sucking blood out of everybody and putting them in a basket?
You don't remember, when they went to Tom Cruise's house...
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah, that's, I wonder if that part, was that in War of the Worlds?
What do you mean?
Was that in the H.G. Wells version of War of the Worlds that the Martians were taking people and sucking the blood out of them?
I think it was. I think that they finally put all that stuff back into the real one, because the one that they did do, they messed it up.
And by the way, Alexander Gudinov, the reason why I couldn't think of the name...
Who is that?
That's the guy in Witness.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Alexander Gudinov.
Well, I couldn't think of the name because the name reminds me of a cheese, and I was thinking of Gouda. I don't think that he's that big of a star.
No, you just asked me, Russian stars, Mikhail Baryshnikov, this guy Gudinov, I don't know who else, you're right. This actress is a beautiful lady, but whether she's going to actually take off on the international scene of actresses, I don't know. All right, enough of that bullcrap. So we read to you about that zombie fragrance. That's fantastic. And we also told you about the guy that was using the eel for sexual pleasure. So that's fantastic. I got to tell you, man, that's mental illness right there.
Phil, I think that You're beginning to sound a little conservative.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Are you trying to tell me that you're going to tell a man how to, in the privacy of his own bedroom...
In the privacy of his own bedroom, huh? How about in the privacy of his own aquarium?
Would you tell that to shut up?
No, it was funny. Yeah, no, he has a right to laugh.
How dare you laugh? What are you laughing at?
The privacy of his own aquarium.
So you say the man's a freak.
He's an absolute freak, an absolute sick freak, and he needs a doctor. He needs a psychiatrist. A psychiatrist. You understand? Anyone that uses any kind of an animal for that has to go in and have to have their brain looked at because there's something wrong with them. Sexual freedom. Get out of here, will you?
Well, I...
Here's a guy that tried to take a picture of a beaver and it killed him. Yes, one day he and his wife were fooling around.
Give me that.
It's a. Just kidding. I'm kidding. I mean, it was a real beaver.
I'll bet it was.
No, it was a beaver. It was the animal.
I don't want to see the picture, thank you.
It's not what you think. It's an animal.
It's the one with a flat tail.
You know, you guys are always going on about asses. And
we're not talking about an ass as in flat tail. We're talking about an actual beaver.
Which, do you mind?
I don't believe this.
Margaret, he ain't talking about a lady. He's talking about the actual animal in the forest, okay?
Yeah, in the bush.
I'll bet it's in the bush. I think you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
This is the kind of the animal, the beaver, that builds the dams, okay? That goes into the forest and builds the dams. All right? Do you understand the difference, the animal?
What's this about a flat tail?
That's what beavers have! God!
And it tried to kill him.
It did kill him! And the way that this thing killed him, this guy was a fisherman in Belarus, and he tried to take a picture of a beaver, and the thing bit him. It attacked him, and it bit him. And it wasn't so much that the beaver just was like this big, powerful beaver that just beat the crap out of him or anything. The beaver bit him in a very unfortunate spot right on the thigh, which is where your femoral artery is. And that is a major artery, and the poor man bled to death. His friends could not stop the blood flow. You know, if you ever have an artery severed, you'll know, because it is like a faucet, man. And you've got to just, the best way you can, you have to tourniquet that thing, man. I mean, you got to, like they do in the Boy Scouts or whatever, take a stick and just twist that thing, you know.
Yeah, get the guy's leg cut off.
Well, I mean, that's it. I mean, you have to, what you're trying to do is save the rest of the body. So you've got to tourniquet that and essentially stop the blood right there from going any further. So that leg, you kiss it goodbye, man. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to lose the leg, but you have to think in those terms.
Well, what are you all of a sudden, Dr. Kildare?
I'm telling you. You can make fun if you want, Margaret, but if you see somebody with a severed artery, you got to make sure that you do something to really put the pressure on and stop that bleeding. That's what happened to this guy. His friends could not stop the blood flow. And as you probably all know already, beavers can cut through trees. They saw down trees. They literally gnaw through a tree and knock it down, and this is how they create those little dams. So if a beaver can gnaw through a tree, man, he's going to gnaw right through your leg. Now, beavers attacking human beings are rare. When they do occur, rabid beavers are generally to blame. That is, a beaver that is has some form of rabies. There was an attack in upstate New York last year. This week, this video was posted on YouTube showing a man being mauled by a beaver in Virginia. And there was a poor man, as we mentioned, just a few days ago, who was attacked by this beaver and got bit and he bled to death. So you have to, you know, you got to be careful. One of the things about rabies or rabid animals, the good news on all of that stuff, is there's no such thing any longer of the so-called rabies treatment, which was a painful series of shots that you got in the abdomen. You don't go through that anymore. They give you shots in the arm. They are standard inoculation-style shots. They may be in the muscle, but it's nothing like what you had to go through in the past, you know. So that's kind of the good news. But you don't want to mess around with any time you get bit by an animal and you don't know whether that, you know, you don't have a tag, you can't find out whether that animal was inoculated, you can't find the animal, it's gone, you better go in and get a rabies shot.
You kidding me? You get bit by like a cat or something?
Any animal. I don't even know if you have to get a rabies shot. If the cat's had its shots. I got bit by a cat. I used to work at an animal hospital when I was a kid, and I got bit by more cats. I got to tell you something. A cat bite is painful and it's infectious. And I got bit in the worst possible place. I got bit right down on the knuckles, and man, that just drives the infection into your body. And I had to go in and get tetanus shots and all kinds of crap. I remember my hand swelled up. So, you know, be safe, and you won't be sorry. And stay away from beavers, the kind that build dams with the flat tails. Not flat ass, but an actual beaver with a flat tail. There, do you feel better?
A little bit. Well, don't give me that because I don't know what you guys are talking about half the time.
And then the other thing is this story about Nadia Suleiman, which is about as disgusting. I don't know what it is about this woman, but people... What's up with her, man?
The problem is she cannot get enough money to support her children, and that is, I think, the problem.
I'm going to get Bobby Dooley in here because we do have coming out tomorrow Bobby's interview with, Chris D'Elia from Whitney, the great stand-up comic. Hey, Bobby, how are you?
Hi, Phil.
Have you got any plans on interviewing Nadia Suleiman?
At this particular time, we don't, Phil. We do eventually want to get someone like that, because I do have an awful lot of people that are celebrities, people that do want to come on and do our podcast, but and we're not going to be able to get all of them in. We want to change it up a little bit and get some of these people that I think it would be fun to look at them and sort of ask them, you know, what, you know, just as you said, Phil and Margaret, you know, what's going on? I mean, what is your problem? You know, and
I mean, would you ask her that?
I think I would. I think that's the best thing to do when you have an individual like her. You just say, you know, I'm Bobby Dooley, and, you know, what's your problem?
I mean, but how would you interview her, seriously?
Well, that's what I would do. I would start out to say, Miss Suleiman, you're, you know, good afternoon. And, you know, it's nice to have you here. And I don't know what your problem is, but you're really ugly.
You wouldn't say that to her, would you?
What's wrong with that? I don't understand.
Well, let's say, I mean, isn't that...
Isn't it what?
Isn't that a little rude?
I don't understand. If you're looking at her, I'm looking at Nadia Suleiman right now, Margaret, in a photograph.
Yes, but to come right out and say you're really ugly...
Well, I'm looking at her in a photograph right now, and she is absolutely the ugliest woman I think I've ever seen in my life. And on top of that, if you're listening, Miss Suleiman, you've got the fattest thighs. I mean, you've got to be kidding. So what are they trying to do?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is they're giving her a... They're trying to give this woman some sort of a, as they say, a relevance. So they have her, paying homage to Angelina Jolie. She's dressed up as Angelina Jolie in one of her, or Laura Croft costumes and some other kind of costume to show us what this woman, what she looks like dolled up.
I mean, she, you know, it's frightening. It's really, really, really sickening. So, yes, we would love to have Nadia Suleiman on the Bobby Dooley podcast. I think it would be exciting. But she's sickening.
Well, good luck getting her on if she ever hears this interview.
What? What do you mean?
She's going to be listening to this and she hears you say she's sickening.
Well, I don't think that, I mean, what has that got to do with it?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Yeah, I said she's sickening, but I'm talking about her coming on our podcast.
She's going to hear you say that she's sickening, and she's not going to want to come on your podcast because you called her sickening.
Oh. Well, I don't know. I think it would be fun to... I mean, I don't know. I'll let Steve work on that.
Yeah, you let Steve work on that. I'm sure he's got some magic...
Well, whatever.
All right, okay. Thank you very much, Bobby. Thank you.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Boy, she's a brain surgeon.
Well, you know what? I mean, people love the podcast. All right, we'll be right back with our final segment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Is Bobby going to have Nadia Suleiman on her podcast? No. Well, yes, she'd love to, even though she's sickening. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Folks, I just messed up. I was trying to coordinate a few things. A little late to get to the air here. Anyway, welcome back here to the Phil Hendry Show. About ready to conclude this evening's frivolity. And we again remind you to join us at philhendryshow.com for live streaming video of our show every night. Coming this particular summer, we're going to continue with our show. And we're probably going to be changing up, although it is on demand, so you can watch or listen anytime you want.
We're probably going to be changing up our show. It may actually become a morning show more than a nighttime show. And by that, I mean we're probably going to incorporate more morning-type breaking news things. Nonetheless, you'll be able to watch the show whenever you want, listen to the show whenever you want. We're also going to be, as I indicated earlier, and I got a lot of people saying, oh, well, how are you going to do that? Hey, don't worry about it, baby. We're going to be incorporating the phone calls back into the show in the classic fashion that we've used them. And just leave it to Phil, okay? Don't worry about how I'm going to do it, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people want to know because they're figuring, how are you going to do it?
Well, they ain't going to find out how I'm going to do it until I decide to tell them how I'm going to do it. How's that sound? Don't worry about it. I got a couple of ideas. We got a few tricks up our sleeves. And quite frankly, we're rather resourceful when it comes to this sort of thing. So we're going to be incorporating the phone calls back into the show that way. We, of course, encourage you to enjoy our podcasts. Most of them are now behind the paywall. So to listen to them, you have to be a subscriber. We've got some 120 podcasts, classic podcasts, that are now for subscribers only. But we do make available to you our most recent 25. And we have an episode now, 146, which is on iTunes as well as SoundCloud and the Sideshow Network. It's Bobby Dooley and the very famous Don't Get Between a Dog and Its Meat episode, where she got into that whole hair-pulling thing. And she wound up getting into this big fight with this woman and got into a whole argument about which family is more suitable to help repopulate the planet Earth after the inevitable radiation and complete, annihilation of the human race following Y2K. Which, as you know, happened.
No, it didn't.
Oh, it didn't? Oh, okay, it didn't. Gee, I thought it was supposed to happen, remember?
Well, Phil, don't rub it in.
No, I think I will rub it in. You know, the problem is we don't rub these things in enough. That's the problem. We should be rubbing it in a lot more. We should have rubbed... When Y2K didn't turn out to be an absolute and complete disaster and the whole world shut down and people... We should have stuck it right back up the you-know-what of everybody that said it was going to be pillaging and raping and we're going to go back to the Stone Age. I mean, we should have made fun of those people to the point of suicide. I'm not kidding you.
Well, that's absolutely... Why would you do that? That's sadistic.
Because they deserved it. That's why. They deserved it. I say this, 12 years after the fact, but anybody that came on... And I heard them, too, especially that one guy that wrote that book, Date Rape 2000. You remember that? Oh, yeah, man. Date Rape 2000. There was going to be unbelievable this, that, something else. And whether that guy meant it or not, he probably didn't. He probably had stock in some company that sold, survival equipment. Who knows? But the fact is, he wrote that book. He went on all these talk shows. And he wasn't all that bright. I can't believe that the cat sold the books that he did. But we should have just gotten those people back on the radio and just... People like that need to be mocked. They need to be made fun of. That guy that predicted the rapture, this guy that with the 2000, every single one of these people that predicts the end of the world should be laughed at until they blow their brains out standing on their front lawn one night.
God, Mr. Henry, that's...
Man, that's hardcore, man. You better believe it's hardcore.
And you're proud of yourself.
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
I dare you to say that again.
Okay, I will. Every one of those people that... See, she doesn't want me to say it.
I can't believe you're going to say that.
I am. They should be mocked until they wander out onto their front lawn one night at 2 a.m. with nothing left, but no, it's all over, and just put the pistol right under their chin.
Oh, my God.
That's bitching. Hey!
What's wrong with that? What are you so shocked about?
Ma'am, that's just hardcore.
Yeah, you said that already. It's hardcore. What's the big deal? God, we're a bunch of candy asses. I swear to God. We give these people all kinds of credibility. We run around like chickens with our heads cut off. We get all panicky. We're going out. We're doing this, doing that, doing something else. And then when the guys prove to be wrong, we're reluctant to, make fun of them. We ought to make fun of them. We ought to make fun of them until they kill themselves. I'm serious. I'm serious. I think it would make a great movie. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, of course, another great movie produced by Dan Northcraft and yours truly, Phil Hendry. Be sure to join us at philhendryshow.com for all of the great Phil Hendry Show shows. We've got thousands and thousands of hours to choose from there. And, of course, we have our videocast archives. We have our news feed. We have so much more. All of the miscellany, all of the extras, all of the glitz, the glamour, the glory that is college football. And don't forget to join us tonight at 10 o'clock. That's 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.